A number of years ago, NASA did some experimenting with a special type of camera that could see the energy levels in the human body. Now, they were able to hook up this camera to a monitor, and that the energy shows up as kind of like this aura around the body. And they're doing the experiment in a hospital to just kind of get a sense of what is the energy levels output by the human body. And they discovered that when a person is dying, that the aura around the body is dimmer, is thinner. Of that, and then it gets thinner and thinner until the person dies. Well, the scientists carrying out the investigation in the hospital were doing the study on one particular man who was dying, and they had the camera through a see-through mirror. And they're standing there, and they see that another man comes in the room, and that there's this light coming from his chest pocket. That the man goes up to the dying man, pulls whatever that object of light out of his chest pocket, and their camera goes white with light. The two scientists immediately run out behind the mirror into the room to see what is going on. And they see that the dying man is receiving Holy Communion. That afterwards with their cameras, they could see that the aura of the dying man was brighter. It led one of the scientists conducting the experiment to become a priest because of that event. Now, that dying man was strengthened by Jesus in the Holy Communion. Jesus in Holy Communion was food not only for the body, but especially for the soul. The dying man's spirits were uplifted since the aurora around him was brighter. The lying sick in that hospital bed, we could say that that dying man had nothing. He was there by himself. When we have nothing, it's up to Jesus to provide us with something. That's what happened in today's gospel. The people with Jesus, that vast crowd of people who followed him out to that deserted place, practically had nothing. Nothing to eat. Now all they have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. Nowhere near enough to be able to feed a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children. So over 10,000 people who need to be fed a dinner. And Jesus goes and simply responds, "Bring them to me." Orders that vast crowd to sit down on the grass. That vast crowd of people who don't even know each other. Who you think they were demanding to get Jesus' attention. And they were probably pushing a little bit to get that attention of Jesus. But all of a sudden they're there sitting on the grass in little groups talking to each other because Jesus had told them to. Because he had asked them to sit down. And he takes up those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, looks up to heaven, looks up to his Father, to God the Father, and said the blessing. And what blessing? The ancient blessing of the Jews before they eat. Our own version, "Be blessed, O Lord, and these thy gifts," that we say ourselves before meals. That he said that blessing and broke the loaves. Breaking the loaves is another indication that something much more than the actual words mean. For it's said that Jesus himself was broken on the cross. And today, when I raise up the bread after the consecration, after the Eucharistic prayer, during the Lamb of God, I break that host to remind us out of the broken body of Christ, out of his side poured forth blood and water, out of his side pours forth the sacraments, that healing and salvation for all of us. And so Jesus broke those 5 loaves and the 2 fish, gave them to his disciples. And of course he gave them to his disciples because by now he's giving them also to us. That his disciples are his followers. And yes, he will provide the body and blood of himself. He will provide the food that we need to satisfy the hunger that we have, more deeper than what any physical food can satisfy. And he will do it. But those who distribute it are us to the rest of the world. That we carry this sacred sacrament in us when we have received it. Go forth at the end of Mass to bring that presence of Christ to others. that crowd goes and eat, and they were satisfied. It wasn't just this little simple meal. They were satisfied. It was like they had the feast of food. And they go and pick up the fragments left over, and they fill 12 wicker baskets full. Why 12? Why that number? It's a very special number. It's the 12 tribes of Israel. That they were the people called by God. They were the ones united together by God, led out of Egypt, out of slavery by Moses, brought into that covenant relationship with God, made part of God's family. That we ourselves represent now those 12 tribes of Israel as the church. That we are all united as one. That we aren't just these individual people. We are one church. It's why we gather here together physically in church. It's why back in April and May, when people come to me and say, "Father, watching the live stream is difficult," I would say, "Good. It should be difficult. Because you're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. You're not gathered together as we are supposed to be gathered together at Mass, as we are now, later." That this is what the church is about. Being gathered together and going forth as one to proclaim the gospel. That this is why we come to Mass every Sunday. And that as Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats me will never die." He is the hope of the world for those who come together. Those who put down all their differences. Those who are looking for everything except what they must look for, which is the love of Jesus, the life of Jesus. And to share this love and life of Jesus by what we say and what we do, united together as one church. And when we look around at today's world, today's society, you can go and say, we have everything we need for our lives. You look at all of the technology, all of the advances that have been made, that we have a truly comfortable life, that we have cell phones that can do things that computers couldn't do 30 years ago. Because we have everything, we may not always see the value of anything. We don't always see everything as a gift from God. In a sense, because we have everything, there is less room for Jesus to work the miracle of the loaves and fishes in our lives. That in a sense, because we have everything, it's more difficult for Jesus to speak his word to us. And maybe because we have everything, we might sometimes forget about God. Forget about the Eucharist. Forget about the sacraments. Forget to pray every day, to read the Bible. That would be sad. Because then we would have everything, but it would mean nothing because the only one who gives meaning to our lives is Jesus. That only Jesus is the one who can brighten that NASA camera so much that the scientists can't see what is happening in the room. That everything and everyone passes, but Jesus remains. Our first reading today had a beautiful invitation to this feast, to this Eucharistic feast. Come to the water, all you who are thirsty. Though you have no money, come. Listen to me, and you will have good things to eat and rich food to enjoy. We enjoy this feast today. We can enjoy it every day. Like living every day with God in our lives is enjoying that feast every day. And there's so much energy when we feast with God that it blinds a NASA camera. And we're so caught up in life, we might not even realize that we're missing out on a feast with God every day. And in our first reading, God said through the prophet Isaiah, "Why spend money on what is not bread? Your wages on what fails to satisfy." That NASA scientist was privileged to discover in so beautiful a way. He was spending his money on what is not bread. His wages on what fails to satisfy. And changed his life because of that discovery. that in little ways God communicates with us from time to time, inviting us to that closer relationship, that closer union with Him. And we seem to hear the words, "Come to the water, all you who are thirsty. Though you have no money, come. Listen to me, and you will have good things to eat and rich food to enjoy." The words from God in today's reading are invitations to us to feast with God every day. That a day without God is a day wasted. We don't want to wait for a disaster to make us realize that we've been spending our time, our money, on what is not bread, our wages on what fails to satisfy. That it's God who has gifted us with life and everything that we have in it. Because we have everything, let it not be the cause of preventing Jesus from working the miracle of loaves and fishes in our lives. And may the gifts God has given us be not that source of distraction, to let Jesus feast with us. And there's so many ways we can spend on what fails to satisfy. The amounts of time spent watching TV or on the computer, watching whatever kind of streaming that we might have. Instead of spending on what fails to satisfy, the people in today's gospel went to find Jesus. And finding Him, they were fed. That as happened in Galilee, there will be more blessings that we'll receive by going out to find Jesus, by allowing Him to feed us. And I'm sure each of us can identify with that. And we've all gone to our God at times in our lives, and He has fed us. That we've received those great graces, those great gifts of His help when we've asked. That we need to also give so that we can receive more. And we need to give ourselves to Jesus as He gives Himself to us, to know that He wants to feast with us, to satisfy every longing we have in the deep recesses of our heart, to show that we can enjoy His presence living in us when we receive Him in the Eucharist.